Welcome back to The Deep Dive. This is the show where we take that stack of documentation you sent our way, articles, specs, you name it, and we boil it all down into the knowledge you actually need.
And our focus today is on a really fascinating piece of open source software called DavMail. Our mission here is to explain for a beginner what happens when you try to use a standard tool like Thunderbird with a big proprietary system like Microsoft Exchange.
We're going to get into the technical conflicts, the clever translations, and the pretty urgent future the software is facing, all based on the DavMail project docs we have in front of us.
It's all about why a translation layer like this is so necessary.
Before we dive in, though, this knowledge extraction is made possible by SameServer. They handle the hosting of complex software and support your digital transformation. You can find out more at www.safeserver.de.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay, so let's just start with the core motivation here. The documentation says, and I love this, that a key goal is to get rid of Outlook. I mean, that statement alone really captures the whole conflict, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. It gets right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
It all comes down to vendor lock-in and, well, proprietary communication. When a company decides to use Microsoft Exchange, they're not just choosing an email program.
They're buying into an entire ecosystem.
Exactly. An ecosystem that relies on its own closed, private ways of doing things. It's not using the open languages of the internet for, you know, calendars or contacts. It's using Microsoft's specific protocols.
So the problem isn't just the app on your computer. It's the actual technical handshake happening between your machine and the server.
That's it. It's like, imagine you speak perfect English, a universal standard, but the server you need to talk to only accepts requests in a very, very specific proprietary dialect of Klingon.
A standard email client just wouldn't know what to do.
It'd hit a technical wall immediately. The server just won't recognize its requests for, say, your calendar or your mail folders.
And this is where DavMail gets really clever. The documentation says it works by using Outlook Web Access, or OWA. Why is OWA the key to unlocking this?
It's such a smart approach. DavMail basically uses Microsoft's own web portal as the bridge. OWA is designed so that anyone can access their Exchange account from a web browser, which means it provides a known entry point.
Ah, so it doesn't have to crack the deepest, most complex desktop protocols?
Precisely. It just finds that OWA link and uses that pathway to talk to the Exchange server. It works even if you're outside the company firewall.
So instead of trying to break into the main vault, DavMail just walks through the public-facing web portal that was already built for remote access.
And it acts as the interpreter for everything. Its whole mission is stated so clearly, provide standard compliant protocols in front of proprietary Exchange. It's an open source translator.
Okay, let's unpack that translation work because the documentation lists six key open standards. And for a beginner, this might just sound like, you know, alphabet soup. We've got POP, IMP, SMTP, CalDAV, CardDAV, and LDF.
It does sound like a lot, but it's actually a very logical stack. You can think of DavMail as a specialized switchboard routing different types of information using these universal standards.
So where do we start? Email, I assume.
Right. The most common one today is IMAP, the Internet Message Access Protocol. DavMail translates Exchange folders into IMAP so your client can see everything, not just your inbox. Your sent mail, your archive folders, all of it.
That's why your email looks the same on your phone and on your laptop.
Exactly. DavMail makes Exchange just look like a standard IMAP server.
And what about POP? That's an older one, right?
Correct. POP, or Post Office Protocol, is much simpler. DavMail still supports it, but it typically only lets you download messages from your inbox. It's for a more basic setup.
Okay, so IMAP and POP let us pull mail down. How do we send it back out?
That would be SMTP, the Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. That handles all of your outgoing mail. So DavMail takes your message, translates it, and hands it off to the Exchange server using SMTP. Those three cover all your core email functions.
This is where DavMail becomes more than just an email tool. It integrates everything else. Let's talk about calendars and contacts.
Yes. For your calendar, you have CalDAV. This is the open standard for scheduling. It's what allows an app like Apple's iCal or Thunderbird with the Lightning extension to read and write appointments on that Exchange server.
So if CalDAV is for the calendar, I'm guessing CardDAV is for contacts.
You got it. CardDAV is for synchronizing your personal contacts. It makes sure that the address book on your local client is always up to date with what you have stored in Exchange.
That's your personal address book, but in a big company, you need to be able to find anyone. You need the global address book.
And that is the final piece of the puzzle. That's handled by LDAP, the Lightweight Directory Access Protocol. This is a really powerful feature. DAVmail uses LDAP to give you access to the entire company directory.
So when you start typing someone's name in the to field,
LDAP is what's looking that person up in the corporate directory and completing their email address for you. Without it, you'd be completely blind to everyone else in your organization.
That one feature is what really makes it feel like a professional, fully integrated tool, not just some workaround.
It really is. And the way it's built is just as important. The documentation notes that it's implemented in Java.
Which is key because that's why it should run on any platform, right?
That's the whole idea behind it. That platform independence is central to its whole philosophy. It's tested and released for Windows, for Linux Ubuntu specifically, and for Mac OS X.
So it's truly cross-platform.
And it even goes beyond the desktop. They mentioned successful tests connecting an iPhone, provided DAVmail is running on a central server. So it can be a gateway for an entire organization, not just one person.
Okay, but this is where the documentation gets really surprising, and it gives you a sense of just how serious this project is. It's not just a hobbyist project.
No, not at all. This detail is really important. The sources explicitly state that the CardDAV implementation, the contact syncing part we just talked about, was sponsored by the French Defense, the DGA, through a project called Trusted Bird.
Wait. The French Ministry of Defense? A national defense agency sponsored a feature for an open source email gateway. Why would they do that?
It tells you everything you need to know about the strategic importance of this. For a defense organization, being totally dependent on a single, closed, proprietary system is a massive systemic risk.
They want to avoid vendor lock-in for security reasons.
Exactly. By funding the CardDAV part, they were ensuring they could use secure, open source clients that they could audit themselves. It elevates DAVmail from just a cool community project to, well, a matter of strategic institutional security.
That really drives the point home. And just to be clear, we're looking at a very recent version here, 6.5.1, published October 29th, 2025. This is a very active project.
And it has to be, because DAVmail is in a constant, involuntary race against Microsoft's own evolution. The roadmap really lays out the project's existential threat and its plan for survival.
And that brings us to the most critical thing on that roadmap, the jump to version 7.0.0. This isn't just a regular update, is it?
No, it's completely mandatory. It's the single most important thing in the entire document. Right now, DAVmail's backend relies on something called EWS, or Exchange Web Services.
And what's the problem?
The problem is Microsoft has deprecated EWS. They're going to remove it entirely. And when they flip that switch, the current version of DAVmail will just stop working. Period.
So this is a total rebuild of the foundation just to keep the lights on.
That's it, exactly. Microsoft is pushing everyone to their new Graph API. So the DAVmail team is now forced to implement a brand new, very complex Graph API backend in version 7.0.0 just to maintain the functionality they already have.
That feels like a never-ending game of whack-a-mole. If Microsoft keeps moving the goalposts like this, is relying on a gateway like DAVmail an inherently risky strategy for a company?
That is the core tension. It's a calculated risk. The benefit is you get freedom of choice for your clients. But the cost is this perpetual maintenance cycle, relying on the DAVmail team to constantly chase whatever changes Microsoft makes.
And if they can't keep up,
the gateway fails.
The roadmap does mention some other things they're considering, though, once the big Graph API transition is done.
Yeah, they're looking at quality of life improvements. Things like using a new OWS endpoint, adding CalDAV attachments, better IMAP folder management. But all of that is secondary to the main survival effort.
And it's also clear about what they are not doing, what's been explicitly ruled out.
They've made some hard choices. They're not implementing the ActiveSync backend, which a lot of mobile devices use. They're also not adding instant messaging or chat. They're staying laser-focused on email, calendar, and contacts.
It makes sense. You have to focus your resources when you're facing that kind of mandatory rebuild.
You absolutely do. It really shows that open-source freedom comes with the price of constant vigilance.
So let's wrap this up. For you, the listener, I think the core takeaway here is that DAVmail is this crucial open-source translator. It gives you freedom, letting you use the client you want in the lockdown world of Microsoft Exchange.
But that freedom isn't free. It has to be constantly defended through these huge technical efforts, like the mandatory shift to the Graph API.
It's a constant battle.
Which leaves you with a really important question to think about. If adopting this new API means DAVmail is always playing on Microsoft's home turf by Microsoft's rules, what happens if Microsoft decides to change those rules every 6 months? Can an open source project ever guarantee long-term stability when faced with that kind of mandated obsolescence?
A question of digital sovereignty, really. That's a perfect thought to end on. This deep dive was supported by SafeServer, helping you with hosting and digital transformation solutions. Learn more at www.safeserver.de. We hope this gives you a shortcut to being well-informed.